Where could I go? That is a question that all of us need to answer, isn't it? And we need to answer that question every day. Where could I go but to the Lord? There is no other place to go where comfort and peace exist. I know people search for comfort and peace in many different ways. I want you to listen to the scripture closely today. And as I read the scripture from the book of Hosea, I want you to keep in mind two things. There's two countries talked about in the scripture. One is called Israel. And during Hosea's day, the 8th century BC, Israel is the northern kingdom. It's the kingdom of basically 11 different tribes, or 10 different tribes, I'm sorry. And the other kingdom that's talked about is Judah. And it's the kingdom basically of one tribe plus Levi. Okay? Two countries, two different areas of the Middle East are talked about in this scripture. Listen to these words that come from Hosea chapter 1. Verses 2 through 10. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved. For I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them." And after she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called children of the living God." I'm imagining that this is a scripture that you probably thought nobody'd ever preach on this one. About a promiscuous woman and about a God that doesn't care. I think this is a message that we need to hear. This is a message that we need to understand. This is a message of God being upset. You see, God is upset with the people because of their unfaithfulness and ask Hosea to live out God's message. God's upset. God's angry. God's mad with the people because they have been unfaithful in their relationship with God. They have not remained in that relationship with God in an obedient and good way. And God asked the prophet Hosea to live God's message out before the people. He tells him, go and marry a unfaithful woman and have children by her. Go and marry an unfaithful woman and have children with symbolic names. This seems awful harsh, doesn't it? Hosea, I want you to live out that message. So many times when we think about prophets, we think about prophets are people who talk about the future. And particularly in this day and age, many people think that prophecy deals only with the end times. That's not true. That's one part of being a prophet. That is one part. A prophet sometimes lives out God's message right before the people in an illustration so that then the people can understand God's position, God's vision, God's understanding of what's going on, and where they have gotten it wrong. So God comes to Hosea and he says, I want you to marry a woman who will be unfaithful. Doesn't quite seem fair, does it? But this relationship, first off, is to stand for the relationship of God with the people. And the people stand for the woman in this relationship. They have been unfaithful to God. He says, Hosea, I want people to be able to see in your relationship with your unfaithful wife what they have done in their relationship with me. Now, I can imagine there's bound to be some people in Hosea's neighborhood that say, look at that poor man. And look at what has happened to him, and his wife has been unfaithful to him. And I'm sure the grapevine is passing the word. What do you think? And Hosea is only following God's desire and God's lead in this case. He says, I want people to be able to see how unfaithful they have been. Are people in our culture unfaithful to God? Is our society unfaithful in a relationship with God? Yes. And if you tell me no, then you and I need to sit down and do some talking, I think, with a newspaper in front of us. Have you ever used a newspaper as your prayer list? Have you ever taken the newspaper and sat down with it and said, there's one thing right there I need to pray about? Decisions are being made in government. I need to make a prayer for that. This family's missing a child right now and they can't find the child. I need to be in prayer for that. This family just went through a whole house being burned down. I need to be in prayer. Did you ever think the paper can be used as your daily prayer list? Not just to bring you the news, but something to lift up into God's presence. You see, Hosea's relationship with his wife is going to look exactly like society's relationship with God. And as they have children, these children are to have symbolic names. Now, I can't imagine naming my children what they're named here. I've never met anybody named Jezreel. Okay? I've never met anybody named Lo-Ruhamah or Lo-Ami. But these names are all symbolic, as many of the names in Scripture are. They have a meaning to them. They have an understanding to them. Okay? Jacob. Anybody know what Jacob means? It means liar. So every little boy that you meet named Jacob, his parents decided to call him liar. Means deceiver. Israel means one who struggles with God. That's what it means. And in this case, these names are symbolic of what God is saying I'm going to do in my relationship with the people. The very first one, Jezreel, actually means God sows, God seeds, God plants. That's what the name means. That sounds like a wonderful idea, doesn't it? God sows, God plants, but at that time, Jezreel is a place where great violence and destruction had just happened. People had been massacred and murdered. And look at what God says when he asks him to name. He says, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel. And I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. God says, name your son Jezreel. God sows, because I'm going to end the kingdom that caused the massacre at Jezreel, which had just happened, and people knew all about it. The second name is Lo Ruhama, which means not loved. Not loved. Can you imagine calling your daughter that? Hey, not loved at supper time. That's her name. You are not loved. God says, no longer do I love you as a people. Not only will I cause destruction of the kingdom that caused a massacre, that massacred people, but I will not love you. And the third name is Lo Ami, which means not my people. Ami means people. Okay? Country, my belonging, my people, my folks. Ami in some other languages means my love. That's where the name Amy comes from. My love, my chosen. And God says, not only will I destroy the kingdom who caused the massacre, but I will not love the people. And you will no longer be my people. No longer. Hosea is to live out God's message. Not an easy thing, do you think? I mean, Hosea is married to an unfaithful woman, promiscuous. The Hebrew word means much more than that. He has three children that don't have blessed names. They have names of curses. I'll destroy this nation. I'll not love it. I will not make them mine. Doesn't seem like a good scripture to have as a sermon on Sunday, does it? Maybe we need to stick with it and just hear that message, though. Because every day, we sin. Every day, we have problems. Every day, we don't make the right decision to live for God. Do you not think that maybe sometimes God says, I'm going to pull my favor away from you? Because you're not living the way I wish you would live. I'm going to pull my love away from you. I'm going to stop looking out for your best interest. I'm not going to consider you my people anymore. I'm going to back up from that. a harsh message. A harsh message that I think some of the world needs to hear much deeper than they hear it. Now I realize, as the saying goes, I'm preaching to the choir today. Or shall I say, I hope I'm preaching to the choir. Meaning that I hope that God is not looking at your life and how you're following God and how you're living for God, and God's not starting to back up a little bit. God's not starting to say to you, I'm taking my favor away from you. God's not starting to say to you, hey, I'm not going to look out for your best interest anymore. God's not saying to you, you're not my people. I don't care about you. Are there things in your life that would make God start to say that? Are there things that you need to set aside? Because you know what? This passage has an incredible message. It has the message to say, be careful. If you think you walk with God, you may fail. But right here in the midst of this message, did you catch? I said there were two countries. Talked about Israel, but he also talked about Judah. And right in the middle, he says, yet I will show my love to Judah, verse 7. And I will save them, not by the bow, the sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but I, the Lord, the God, will save them. What's the difference? Why is God calling out one nation to be cursed and another to be favored? I think it has a lot to do with where the people are and how they're living. You see, if we're just playing and pretending that we're following God, but we're also following the ways of the world, God is going to back up from us. God is going to say, no longer will I favor you. No longer will I love you. No longer will I call you mine. You see, yet God brings the promise that one day these people can be called the children of the living God. And here, God's not speaking just about Judah. Because listen to these verses again. Verse 10. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called children of the living God. So the people here that God has been backing up from, that God has says no longer favor, no longer love, no longer possession, no longer mine, God says there will be a day. There can be an opportunity. There can be a chance. There can be the day that these people once again will be called the people of the living God. Amen? I guess I want to say this, though. The people of the living God need to look like they're living. Amen? Amen? If we're going to be people of the living God, shouldn't we be living too? Or is God the God of dead folks? And God is the God of dead folks that have crossed over the threshold of death and now they live in heaven and that's the God. No, if we are children of the living God, shouldn't we be living too and rejoicing and amen and excited about our faith? Amen. Because God no longer is saying to the people, I take my favor away from you. God is no longer saying, I will not love you. God is no longer saying, you will not be my people. God is saying, I want you to be my people. I want you to live as my people. I want you to be excited as my people in this world. I want the world to know that they can see you're my people.
I want the world to know that you understand how deeply you are loved by God. How much God cares for you. How much God looks out for you. I want people to know that through your life. And I want people to know that you understand how much I favor you. How many of you have got brothers and sisters? How many of you, I'm going to be bold here. How many of you are the favored? How come nobody raised their hand to that? Your brothers say you are. And you say one of your brothers is favored, I'm sure. Don't you want to be the favored child of God? Don't you want to be the favored child of God and know it? You ever met somebody that's a favored child and they know they're a favored child? Oh, I see some heads moving now, yeah. They know they're a favorite child, and they know that they can do whatever they want to do, right? And they know that even if they did something wrong, they're still going to be loved. God's still going to take... Think about that in your relationship with God. Even though I do something, I will still be a child of the living God. God doesn't say, okay, take his birth certificate away. I still get to be part. So Hosea lives out this relationship to get people to see what they've done wrong. To get people awake. The gossip vine is working and people are talking about poor Hosea and his children. And they're talking around the whole neighborhood. And do you know what I heard his wife did the other night? Yeah, I know, this is foreign to you guys. You guys have never heard anything like this or even said anything like this. Do you realize how bad his children have been? Do you understand the incredible names that they gave to their children? They gave names to their children. One of their daughters named, I don't love you. And their son, their youngest son is named, you're not part of me. What incredible names. I mean, think about that. Incredible names. And the grapevine's talking, but the hope is as the grapevine talks that people realize they're part of the problem too. Because I'm just going to go right straight to meddling right now. Gossip is sin. It's not anything else. Gossip is sin. Always. Every time. Never any different. But the hope is, as the people talk about and realize the situation of Hosea, his wife, and his children, that they start thinking about, where does that leave me in my relationship with God? And if God says that, hey, one day you can be the children of the living God, one day... You know what that makes me think about? That the turnaround can also be the same for us. From not my people to the children of the living God. The turnaround can be the same for our society, our culture, our town, our state, our nation, and the world. It can be the same. From not my people to children of the living God. It requires a whole lot more from us than what we give sometimes. It really does. It requires. But you see, this turnaround can also happen for us. It can be the same for us. As we think about Hosea and his wife and his children, the turnaround can be the same. And we can lead and guide people in that turnaround so that then our country moves from being not my people to the children of the living God. Because I'm sorry to tell you, the United States is not God's people. It is not. We are not a Christian nation. People may think that and they may say that, but we're not. And by the way, if you go back and study some of your history, parts of the United States were never meant to be a Christian nation. The state of Rhode Island was founded for anybody who had religious persecution, no matter what religion they were from. Go back and read why they were founded. They were not founded to be a Christian nation. They were founded for anybody under religious persecution. Some of our founding fathers were not Christians. It's quite evident by their writings. Thomas Jefferson being one of the top ones. He wrote in his journals that God is only a crutch, and I don't think we need God. And oftentimes he's lifted up as being a founding father who was a Christian. The example of his life proves otherwise. Will we come back to being God's people? Will we come back to being the children of the living God? Will we come back to know that that turnaround can happen for us too? Will we help other people to know that that turnaround can happen? What did it mean when I got saved? What did it mean when I came to trust Jesus Christ? It meant that I turned around. I was going as far in the opposite direction from Jesus Christ as I could possibly go. As far as I possibly could go. I had to turn around. And I had to decide that I'm going to walk and be a child of the living God. Because I wasn't trying to live that way. I was trying to explain this to somebody one day, and they said, well, if we'd known that, we wouldn't have hired you as our pastor. And I said, yep, you're probably right. That's why I didn't tell you all the details beforehand. I waited till you hired me. But here's the other way to look at that. If God can take a person that's walking in the wrong way and turn them around and come back and say, you are now a child of the living God, can it not happen for everybody? Amen. Right? That's what we need to be about. We need to let people know that even though Hosea's story, Hosea's relationship, Hosea's children's names are awful, horrible, cursed, that it can all turn around. Can our country become a country of God? Yes, it can. There are a lot of things that are going to have to change. A lot. And we can't change it by laws, rules, and regulations. You know how I can prove that? There's a law in every state that says it's against the law to murder. Has that stopped people from murdering people? I can't pass a law to say, you have to be a Christian. Same thing would happen, wouldn't it? It only happens by helping one person at a time. It doesn't happen any other way. One person at a time. Can you be the child of the living God in such a way and be so excited about it that people would say, gosh, your life is so blessed, so peaceful, so great. How can I be a child of the living God too? Could you imagine what that would be like if people were knocking on your door asking you that? First off, it would probably scare you, I'll bet. But wouldn't that be a great thing if somebody's knocking on the door right now and says, can you tell me how to be the child of a living God? You guys are so excited about your faith and so upbeat and so encouraging and so much. That's what I want. So I'm going to ask you to stop making it about other people. Will you take the first step to return to God? I think all of us have some way that we can take an additional step to return to God. All of us do. I know I do. The Bible tells me it's so. What's the step you need to take? Will we take the first step to return to God and encourage others to do the same? Will we take the first step? Or will you continue to live out the life of Hosea and his wife and his children? You have a choice. And I know some of you would say to me, well, I trusted Jesus Christ many years ago. Good. What's the next step you need to take? Because everybody here can take a step closer to God. Everybody. Everybody here could come more into that favored relationship. By the way, I'm going to let you go and read it, but if you'll read the book, a whole book of Hosea, the children get renamed. They don't have to live with the name of, I don't love you, and you're not my people. They get renamed. I'll let you go find that. They get renamed. How about you? Will your life be renamed? And will people know you as a child of the living God? What step do you need to take? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for Hosea. It's hard for us to understand what he had to do. It's hard for us to understand what it must have been like for him to live your message in his marriage and in his relationship with his children. But Lord, help us to take the step that we need to take. Because each one of us knows what it is. We're well aware of what you're asking us to do, how you're asking us to step to be more faithful to you, to be children that bring you glory and honor by the way that we live. Lord, teach us how we can rejoice. Teach us how we can be excited. Teach us how we truly can be the children of the living God in the midst of a world that wants us to live so differently. Lord, change us first so that we might help others as we change. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.